When it comes to cell phone providers, Ciena is putting life into phone service. Contrary to other cell phone providers, Ciena actually works to build a culture of life in America. Information at prolifecatholic.com.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Never knew such a love could be found. It's so amazing. I can taste, I can feel, I can see, for I am facing love divine. You are mine. You have found me just in time. You are mine, all in all, love divine.
Bridging the gap for your morning drive, it's Morning Air with Sean Harriott.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Along with Glenn Leverins, bringing you the news from the Vatican and around the world. And now, here's your host, Sean Harriott.
Hey, we've got three questions coming up in just a little while. Got those amazing Glenn Leverins hints, and we'll be giving away a copy of Jeffrey Tumlin's book, Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and Life. Also, we'll be talking with blogger and author Danielle Bean coming up about raising our kids in the faith. And I'm happy to have Jeffrey Tumlin back on the show. He's the author of the book, Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and in Life. He's the founder and CEO of Mouthpiece Consulting, LLC, a communications consulting company, president of On Demand Leadership, a leadership development company, and founder and board chair of Critical Skills Nonprofit, a 501c3 public charity dedicated to providing communications and leadership skills training to chronically underserved populations. And again, the book is called Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and in Life. You can find out more at his website, Tumlin.com, T-U-M-L-I-N, Tumlin.com. Jeffrey, good morning.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks. It's good to talk to you again.
Yep, great to hear your voice.
So you're going to give us kind of a New Year's resolution here to bust up some bad communications habits.
Yes, I like stopping things because it's usually a lot easier than starting things. And with the nice thing about a bad communication habit, the nice thing if you stop it is that you get a lot of bang for your buck because the habits usually repeat across a lot of interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So stopping one thing can actually reduce trouble across a whole range of fronts. It can reduce trouble at work, at home, and so forth.
Okay. So we stop those bad habits and we make room for some good ones instead.
Well, that would be good in theory, but I tell you what, in practice, I'll just be okay if all of us could pick one bad habit and just stop that.
All right. Well, tell us about some of these bad habits that maybe a lot of us have and we don't even realize.
Well, I think the first one, and probably the most damaging, is that in the battle between our Neanderthal brain and our more modern brain, we let the Neanderthal brain pick our words.
Mm.
And that's probably the most devastating bad habit, because of communication's inherent asymmetry. And by that, I just simply mean that we build our relationships at work and at home slowly over weeks and months and years, but the asymmetry is that we can dismantle them in a sentence.
Mm.
And so the way we select our words matters an enormous amount, and that when we're agitated, upset, frustrated, that's the more primitive part of our brain that's going to pick those words. Whereas just a second or two, even a slight pause, lets that first wave of agitation move through. And then, in general, that'll get your more thoughtful brain in charge of your words, and instead of picking the very provocative adjectives with the exclamation points, you can say what you need to say without without lobbing a volley of damage on the underlying relationship.
Now, is this why we see people do inexplicable things on Twitter? You know, we all have those examples of emails where somebody should have just taken a minute and thought a little harder about what they said?
Yes, that's the marriage between the Neanderthal brain having a nuclear bomb. And so we didn't have the ability. I didn't have the ability to make a global fool of myself in 2 seconds 15 years ago. I mean, I would have had to really make an effort to make everybody think I was a knucklehead, you know, in the world. I would have had to, you know, spend all my money and tried to get it all. But now I just sit down at the keyboard. And so in a weird quirk, and, you know, we have this discussion, we've had parts of the discussion a number of times. I'm a huge fan of our powerful communication tools, but what happened is that in communication, a lot of times what will help us the most is the passage of time before we choose what we're going to say, because that lets the thoughtful part of our brains and our souls get in charge of what we're saying. And we've inserted tool after tool after tool to squeeze that protective space that has in the past created a buffer. So even in the past, when I would have said something that would have been, that was the Neanderthal, the damage would have been limited to whoever could hear my voice. So maybe 3 or 4 or 5 people. But now, you know, we, as we're all very well aware, I say something I regret or I post something I regret on social media and it can live forever and it can theoretically go everywhere.
Yeah, it's amazing how Andy Warhol's, you know, 15 minutes of fame has morphed into a lot less than 15 minutes, but also the first you hear about someone is the thing that they've done that got them, you know, fired from their job or will follow them around the rest of their lives in one way or another.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of us who worked back in an era when there wasn't an internet. I started working, and, you know, I remember some of the hard lessons I learned about, you know, being sensitive and being smart about who I was talking to and how I was saying things. And I tell you what, Sean, there are times when, you know, sometimes when I see a message that somebody sent that got them fired, I think back to myself. I think back to the 22, 23-year-old version of myself, and I say, you know what? Thank goodness there wasn't an internet around then, because that's when I was learning not to be a knucklehead so much.
Right. Okay, so...
The only other thing I was going to say is that you go back to what I said in a kind of exaggeration about, you know, we're giving these nuclear bombs to Neanderthal. And another way of saying that is that our tools are so powerful for communication. And so in people like me and you as a parent and so forth, we have a responsibility, I think, to help people, especially young people, have a better sense for, what's the best ways to use those tools. I don't think the answer is to not let young people use these powerful tools, but I think that it's to let them use it with a sense of, okay, here's how you can experiment, here's how you get feedback on the messages, and do the best that we can to help this be the era where we could be connecting in wonderful, great ways and try wherever possible to still let people have that trial and error that they need without it being the 5 seconds of fame that's going to follow them for 20 years.
We're talking about eradicating some bad communications habits. I'm talking with Jeffrey Tumlin. Habit number one, letting the Neanderthal pick your words. Let's talk about bad habit number two.
Yep. This is, you know, I hear this a lot when I do executive coaching, and every now and then we'll be talking about something that didn't go right in someone's workplace, and they'll say, well, I needed to do that because it was important for me to be me. And I would say, tell me that again. And they would say, I felt like I had to say that in that meeting because I was being authentic. And to channel the immortal words of Dr. Phil, I say, well, and exactly how is that working out for you? Because, I mean, in my work as someone who helps people at working at home shape their messages and work with people, authenticity is very often used as a cover for bad behavior.
Mm.
And what I'm suggesting is not that we go around and we be fake and that we try to always be thinking, well, you know, what should I say? What does Sean want me to say? And, mm-hmm. and how am I going to not hurt? I'm not saying that we spend all of our time thinking like that, but I am suggesting that using authenticity to wave away bad behavior is a bad habit when the more appropriate way for us to act is to try to always be thinking, how are my words going to impact the other person?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I think that it's going to not have a positive impact, but it's still something that needs to be said, then I can go to the next step and think through, okay, well, what's the best way for me to say this difficult or sensitive message?
Mm-hmm.
And that couldn't be more different, that two-step process from saying whatever the heck I want to say, and then when I'm like, Sean, you just killed me, man. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, I was just being myself.
Yeah.
Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah. More coming up with Jeffrey Tumlin. And again, you can find him online at Tumlin.com, T-U-M-L-I-N, Tumlin.com. We'll talk more about eradicating some bad communications habits when we return.
Listener supported, Relevant Radio.
The station that prays for you. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with Relevant Radio and from sharing from your wallet a little bit as well.
I'm 25 years old, started to get back into the faith. I used to go every once in a while to church, but I always had just one foot in the door, but now I'm trying to listen to Relevant Radio, which brings me back into the faith.
Pope Francis knows we have to pray in these times, in these days, to the Blessed Mother. He's been praying the rosary every day, and he spoke about it in no uncertain terms. We are in a battle today. Folks, you know that as well as I do. There's a lot of confusion out there, but hope is brought to you when people speak the truth, and that's what Relevant Radio does.
Got turned on to you about 5 months ago, and I'm a devoted listener. It really has changed my life.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123. Or donate online at relevantradio.com.
Face life's challenges with a team of experts on your side. On Call with Wendy Weiss.
Hi, I'm Wendy Weiss. Divorce is painful and confusing. The Catholic Church wants the faithful to have all necessary information when it comes to the annulment process. Canon lawyer Jackie Rapp joins us to answer your important questions Thursday at 1 Central on Relevant Radio.
On Call, weekdays at 1 Central, 2 p.m. Eastern on Relevant Radio.
In theaters January 24th, Gimme Shelter is a movie about survival and hope of redemption for a teenage girl. Endorsed by Cardinal Timothy Dolan and based on a true pro-life story, Gimme Shelter stars Vanessa Hudgens, Brandon Fraser, and James Earl Jones. More information at GimmeShelterTheMovie.com. That's GimmeShelterTheMovie.com. It's 18 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Air, and I'm talking with Jeffrey Tumlin. He's the author of the book Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and Life. And we're talking about some bad communication habits to get rid of in 2014. And the next one, Jeffrey, is something that I think with the proliferation of smartphones and social media is something that most of us are guilty of.
Yep, the third bad habit that I think we should try to think about reducing is multitasking when we should be listening.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, one of the quirks of the digital age is that it's created this pervasive idea that there's always something better a click away.
Mm.
But in fact, not to get all philosophical touchy-feely, but what's more important than that person in front of me? I remember many years ago, I was my very first job, I was an infantry officer in Hawaii, and I was moving through a bunch of paperwork. It was early in the morning, and there was a knock at the door, and it was a very low-ranking, so a private, in fact, who I scarcely knew. And when he was knocking at the door, I could kind of see that something was going on, but a part of me wanted to just finish the paperwork I was doing. And so I thought for a second about just telling him to come back, but I could see something in his face, so I let him come in. And to make a very long story short, he was having some health problems that were jeopardizing his ability to stay in the Army. But the way his enlistment had happened is he was part of a gang, an inner city gang, and his choice was jail or the Army. And so here's this kid. So here's this kid who has a medical problem, and the Army is almost certain to send him out. But what nobody had connected the dots except this private is, look, if I get, I came into the Army, I turned my life around, but the nature of my contract with the Army is if I get pushed out before my enlistment's up for any reason, I go to jail. And so it took a few minutes for me to piece all this together. And a half of me was, I couldn't believe that I almost just told the guy to come back later when I finally figured out what was going on. It took us a bunch of work, and we were able to configure, another job for him. We'd get him out into an area of the Army where his medical condition wouldn't be a problem. He finished his enlistment. He did his life. He did turn it around. But I remember on the way out the door, he stopped and he said, thanks for taking a couple minutes. And he said, you're the only officer I know who would have spent this time. And
wow.
I couldn't believe it, because I did not deserve that compliment. Mm. I was a half a second away from picking my paperwork over this guy. And it's an extreme example, but it's something that's never left me. It's a story that's never left me, and it helps me to remember that the person in front of me is more important than anything else that I have going on. And so a bad habit that a lot of us are guilty of is looking for that next email, checking to see what the phone is doing when the blue light is blinking, when there's someone right in front of us.
Man, that's amazing. Let's talk about the next bad habit, which has to do with the questions we ask.
Yes. We're surprisingly terrible questioners in general. And I sometimes tell people, look, I think that something happened somewhere between Socrates and me, and questions became, weapons for the negative, and largely criticisms not so cleverly disguised with question marks. And so there's a simple procedure that you can go through to improve your questions. For the next 2 days, 48 hours, watch what happens when you're asking questions in conversation. Look at the responses, and then start selecting the kinds of questions that put the people in your life more at ease in their responses. In general, if your questions are provoking responses, they're not working as questions normally should. Unless we're a trial lawyer on, actually in court, law and order style, trying to pry things out of someone, and by the way, it doesn't even work there because people won't talk. But our questions shouldn't provoke a response. Good questions, when you ask good questions, the response comes flooding right back to you. And so instead of, why did you, try more, tell me about. Instead of, I can't believe you did, try more, do we have some time that we could talk about, and so forth. And so less provoking with your questions, and then more gentle easing, because the remarkable thing, here's the thing, people love to talk, and questions are enormously powerful communication tools, but we spend no time thinking about how to use them. Take 48 hours, watch how your questions are influencing your conversations, and then start experimenting with your words so that your questions are doing less provoking and they're more gently allowing people to disclose the dialogue that you want.
So some of the problems we have in relationships really might have their root in the way we're asking those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a period of time where I did more relationship coaching, and just happened that my business took off more on the corporate side. But when I was doing the relationship work, I was very surprised in couple after couple to see that things that they were saying, well, we just have a poor relationship, and we would start and we would unpack what they were talking about. It was the way they talked about issues, and it was the questions. And so the bad news about questions is we're much worse at asking them than we think we are. But the good news is if we can ask less provocative questions and use our questions to fuel dialogue, some of the problems that right now, this moment, we think are actually relationship problems, they're not. They're a discrete communication skill that can be remedied, and it's poor questioning.
All right, Jeffrey, I think we have time for at least one more here.
Okay. Let's talk about the habit of fighting with a difficult person.
Okay.
This is something that I think a lot of times we get drawn into. And so what I'm going to suggest is that in your life, there's a lot of people who may present a challenge or they may have bad days. And those are difficult people, or those are regular people, I should say, just having a bad day. And then there's a very small number of people, and maybe it's one or two people at work, and maybe it's one or two people in your personal life, and they're difficult to everyone in almost every situation. And so they constantly argue. They're very rigid. They're stubborn. They're emotional. They're prone. They're quick to anger. And so these small number of people who you have to interact with. So for whatever reason, you can't truncate your interactions with these people. And it may be two or three people across your work and your home life. What I'm suggesting in 2014 is that you stop fighting with these people, because the singular error that we make is we think that it's personal. I think that my Uncle Billy, who is arguing with me all the time, this guy is arguing with me, I think, what is it? He doesn't like old Jeff? How come he's always on old Jeff about how come the Patriots didn't win? How come you don't believe this about the politics? Yeah. What's going on with your Texas Longhorns? And so on and so forth. And then, but actually, Uncle Billy, he's lighting everybody up. And it's not personal. It's pervasive. And it's just about the only time in communication. Almost always I tell people, you know what, most of our problems, they're completely self-inflicted. Except with difficult people, the problem isn't us, it's them. And so instead of trying to change Uncle Billy this year, instead of trying to win in a fight or an argument with the very types of people, the 0.1% minority of people who we're never going to convince of anything, I say be much more modest about your expectations. Have a very small, modest expectation for the conversation, and do not try to change them. In 2014, don't tangle up with these pervasively difficult people. Let them win, so to speak, because in so doing, you'll retain your sanity, and you won't be banging your head against the wall in the one type of person who's the least likely to change.
And Jeffrey Tumlin's book is called Stop Talking, Start Communicating, Counterintuitive Secrets to Success in Business and in Life, and you can find out more at tumlin.com, T-U-M-L-I-N. Jeffrey, thank you. Great to talk to you this morning.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Take care.
Hey, coming up, we've got three questions on the way. And we'll give away a copy of Jeff's book, Stop Talking, Start Communicating. Give us a call, 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. Three questions coming up right after the break.
You need a cell phone, but not the high monthly fees and long-term contracts that come with it. Ciena has no contract cell phones and plans to fit every budget. Plans start at just $9.95 per month, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no plan change fees. Bundle plans with talk, messaging, and data are also available, and all of our services have a risk-free 30-day return policy. Best of all, Ciena sends 5% of your monthly talk plan price to the Catholic or pro-life charity of your choice at no additional cost to you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to ProLifeCatholic.com today and turn everyday living into effortless giving for your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity. Mention Relevant Radio and offer code EASY and get free activation and free shipping plus a free phone. Call 877-474-3662 or go to ProLifeCatholic.com today.
The cause of building up a culture of life must include the foundation of the family. I'm Sheila Logminas. We're focused right now on the anniversary of Roe and the millions of lives we're missing because of abortion. But we have to back up and look at the breakdown of the family and the damage that's wrought in society to see how the groundwork was laid for abortion on demand to be legalized. We need to refix our gaze squarely on marriage and family to help hurting people and save countless lives. We'll take a closer look today at 5.
Chuck Neff on Relevant Radio.
Father Tim, we talk about the rosary. It's a prayer of the Gospels. Explain to us what that really means.
You know, I want to turn to somebody who is a saint. What the Pope is saying, Pope John Paul II, is so beautiful because far from being a prayer of just repetition, the Pope is saying this meditative prayer brings us to the heart of remembering how he won salvation for us through the mysteries of his life, death, and resurrection. Those mysteries of the Rosary remind us that what happened in the way of salvation in the life of Christ wasn't just in the past, makes those mysteries present to us today. And if we participate, not only in the meditation of the Rosary, but we bring the light of those mysteries into our daily life, into the world, the whole world is exposed to the fruit of the meditation of the Rosary.